Hello, everyone, and welcome to Explore the Art and Science of Teaching. I'm James.
And I'm Lisa. In this podcast, we're diving into something every educator needs in their toolkit: practical classroom strategies for different age groups. We'll be breaking it down by developmental stages and unpacking some universal principles that work across all ages.
Exactly. Teachers often face the challenge of meeting diverse needs in the classroom while keeping lessons engaging and effective. So, let's start with the youngest learners, preschoolers, ages 0 to 6. Lisa, what's the key to teaching at this stage?
At that age, it's all about rich sensory, play-based experiences. Think sand trays, building blocks, and lots of hands-on activities. But it's not just about play, it's also about building secure attachments. A warm, responsive teacher can make all the difference.
Right, and I imagine language development plays a huge role too. How can teachers support that?
Oh, definitely. Teachers should talk a lot with their students, use gestures, and incorporate objects to make communication more tangible. Repetition and routines also help solidify learning. Plus, motor play, anything that gets them moving while learning, is crucial.
That makes sense. Now, as kids move into the primary years, around ages 7 to 11, their thinking becomes more concrete, doesn't it? What strategies work best here?
Absolutely. At this stage, kids thrive on manipulatives, simple experiments, and tasks that involve classifying or comparing. For example, using objects to teach fractions or sorting animals by habitat really clicks with their developmental stage.
And what about reasoning skills? Is this when we start encouraging them to explain their thinking?
Exactly. Teachers should ask kids to explain their reasoning in plain words. It's also a great time to introduce metacognitive strategies, simple things like setting goals or reflecting on what helped them solve a problem. It's all about building those foundational thinking skills.
So, moving into early adolescence, ages 12 to 15, we're talking about a massive leap in cognitive and emotional development. What shifts in teaching need to happen here?
This is when abstract thinking starts to take shape. Teachers can introduce debates, experiments, and hypothetical reasoning tasks. But here's the catch: teens still need scaffolding. They might be able to think abstractly, but they'll need guidance to structure those thoughts.
Right, and this age group is also heavily influenced by social dynamics. How can teachers leverage that?
Great question. Peer feedback and collaborative tasks work really well. For instance, having students plan a project together using tablets or giving each other feedback on essays. It's also crucial to support emotional regulation, helping them navigate group dynamics and their own feelings.
That's so important. Now, for older teens, ages 16 and up, the focus shifts again, doesn't it? What's key here?
Yes, the focus becomes more about independence and applying knowledge in real-world contexts. Open-ended research projects, critical analyses, and tasks that require them to transfer skills across contexts are gold. Teachers shift more into a mentoring role at this stage.
So, it's less about guiding every step and more about fostering self-directed learning?
Exactly. You still provide structure, but it's more about helping them refine their own processes. Encouraging them to argue abstractly, critique sources, and think about broader applications of what they're learning prepares them for university or the workplace.
I love how these strategies evolve with the learner. But let's not forget the principles that apply across all ages. What's the first universal rule?
Activate prior knowledge. Always connect new material to what students already know. Without that anchor, new concepts often don't stick.
And it's not just about intellectual connections, right? There's an emotional component too.
Absolutely. Students learn best when they feel safe and valued. Building strong teacher-student relationships is foundational. Without that, even the most well-planned lesson can fall flat.
That's a great point. And what about differentiation? How can teachers ensure they're meeting individual needs without overwhelming themselves?
Differentiation doesn't have to be daunting. Start with diagnosing prior knowledge. See where each student is starting from. Then, Design tasks at varying levels of complexity. For example, a confident student might tackle a multi-step problem, while another works on foundational skills with scaffolds.
And feedback plays a big role in this, doesn't it?
It does. Feedback should focus on reflection and growth. Instead of just giving a grade, ask students to think about what strategies worked for them and what they could improve. It builds metacognition and a growth mindset.
Before we wrap up, let's quickly touch on the checklist for teachers. What are the must-ask questions before planning a lesson?
Here's a concise version. Have you activated prior knowledge? Is the task concrete enough for the age group? Are you offering social scaffolding where needed? And, this one's big, have you considered effective factors? Does the student feel safe and valued?
Such a good reminder. And lastly, don't forget to push students just one level higher. Challenge them without overwhelming them.
Exactly. Teaching is about balancing the brain, the heart, and the context. When you plan for all three, you create real, lasting growth.
Well, that's all.
Thank you, James. And thanks to our listeners for joining us.